Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, those things we didn't get a chance to talk about on the regular show today, including I've got some Tay Sway stuff here. What kind of Tay Sway? It's not really as much about her as it is about the movie. You remember the movie The Sound of Freedom? It was about, like, human trafficking.
Oh, yeah.
And it was big in religious circles and faith-based circles, and it did. It ended up doing really well. I think it was released in July. And it ended up making, get this, $184 million.
Dang, that's good.
That is nutso for like a faith-based kind of movie. But it ended up beating Taylor Swift at the box office for 2023.
Well, that's good.
Her Eras Tour only brought in $179, so it beat the Eras Tour.
That's awesome.
Right.
'Cause that just goes to show people care about these kids.
Yeah.
More than they do Taylor Swift and what she's wearing.
This is where it's always a little dicey when they throw up comparisons like this, because this movie had since July, and Eras only had 2.5 months like to make its money, and it made that much in 2.5 months. But, I mean,
we're going to take the win.
Yeah, absolutely. At that point, you're exactly right. You take the win. They beat Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny.
Oh, no way.
So that was good, too.
Really?
But also, too, I mean, isn't it Jim Caviezel? That's his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's nice
Something
to
like
look
that.
At.
No, I never thought that when I was in it.
Oh, you didn't?
He plays
no.
Jesus. Hmm.
And yeah, he does. He did play Jesus.
He's a nice-looking Jesus.
In The Passion. Yeah.
You're
like, I got a crush. I got a crush on Jesus, and it feels weird, right? Is this weird, anyone?
Good touch.
I get a... That's the title.
Oh, so funny. All right. There's so many things. I'm like, nope, yeah. Wrong.
Just
wrong,
keep it
wrong,
keep it tight.
Wrong.
Keep it going.
Let me tell you something.
Yes,
So I've been watching some dash cam footage.
Yes, you have.
It's been fun to watch you watch dash cam.
It's making me wonder if I should get a dash camera for my own car, because people are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people running red lights, and I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means,
sure.
But I am learning by watching this dash cam footage that I need to be aware of how much space I keep between me and the car in front of
yes.
me, because people slam on their brakes, or people are like, oh, nope, this is my exit, and they don't even look,
yeah.
Like, look!
Or they hit you from behind, you hit the car in front of you, and then you're still charged
yeah.
because you
well,
were too close.
Well, I think what makes me angry watching, it's kind of like Wally watching all these Gen Zer videos that make him angry.
Right.
These videos are making me angry because there are people that can get away with it. They hit you, and then they just run off.
Yeah.
And some people are like so impatient that they have to just merge around you. Then they brake check you.
Yes.
And then you get in an accident.
My
like,
favorite.
Are you serious?
I have a favorite dash cam video. It's these people that got into an altercation. And this one person is so aggressive. No matter what this person tries to do to de-escalate the situation, the person slows down, gets right behind and cuts him off, gets right in front of him, cuts him off, is pushing them off the road. It's bad. Like, and he goes like three lanes over to he's targeting them relentlessly. And it was so great because the other person tries to get off the road like last minute so that they couldn't get him anymore, and he alters his course to get him, and then all of a sudden you see a cop fly up
Good.
And nail that person.
Good.
And you're like,
what a
yes.
win. That's great.
And it was all on the dash cam. But the dash cam, think Good. About how many times you get into altercations. Like, I got into an accident once where, and you were warning Gavin about this, I was driving in a lane, and people in the lane next to me had left a space so somebody could cut through and get to the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to do that, you can't see the lane that also has the right-of-way.
It's not good.
And so this guy cuts in through that, and I jam on my brakes, and we hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out of the car, and I said, hey, we got to call the cops and make a report. And he's like, do you really want to do that? And, you know, I mean, you're at fault. I'm like, oh, that's what we're doing?
Oh.
I said, no, dude. I said, you came through. I had right away.
Yep.
But like a dashboard solves all of that. The cops get there. You go, here's my dash cam. Other than that, it's my word against yours, you know?
I know.
But I said, you really want to do that? That's fine. Let's go. Yeah. And I just separated from him and called the cops. And then he got charged. But
it just makes me so angry. Like, that people are so dumb.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm not perfect. There have definitely been times where I was like, ooh, I'm glad that didn't end in a wreck because that was my fault. I should have looked
Or the
twice.
Violence ones where you see someone get out of their car and come up and punch windows and stuff.
I'm watching a show that's about like road rage, And there are some crazy people that keep a bat in the trunk of their car just in case.
Yeah. I mean, in case I got to regulate something today. Yeah. There may or may not be a weapon in my center console, you know, just in case things get crazy.
It's called a finger gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that's always with me.
Always.
It's hard to holster when I drive.
Just driving.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't want it to go off accidentally, and so I usually put it on the steering wheel, my finger guns.
Smart.
Yeah.
Put it on the dash cam, sir. Put it on the dash cam.
We're going back to the moon, kind of. Did you read about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a company in Pittsburgh that just launched a lunar lander that's going to be the first time we've been on the moon since 1972, if you believe we ever went. Cernan and Harrison Schmitt were the 11th and 12th men to walk on the moon. I didn't know that we had 12 on there. I mean, that's more than I would have thought.
Yeah, I thought it was just Neil.
Yeah, because you know how there's the conspiracy theorists, oh, we never went to the moon because of this. But, like, if you were in a conspiracy to pretend like we went to the moon, you would stop with the one. Because the more people you bring into it, then it's going to get out. And so for them to do this, like with 12 people, would be lunacy. You know, you get to the moon, we made it, and you stop. So that to me, I think, is what a big argument for like countering the conspiracy theorists on this. But it's funny because NASA gave money, millions of dollars, to these two private companies to figure out a way to do a lunar lander. And so instead of NASA doing it, they're outsourcing it now. And so the one company is launching, they're going... The other company out of Houston's like, we can probably still beat them to the moon, even though we haven't launched yet. We're taking a more direct route. We've got a shortcut, and I guess they're gonna try to launch theirs and beat them to the moon.
Smart.
I love it. It's a space race between two private companies.
Go straight to the moon. Don't take a left at the Milky Way.
Yeah, and so one of the companies, though, the company that's already launched, in addition to just sending up some. Experiments for NASA that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They took like private payload to put on the moon from different companies. Mm-hmm. And one is a chip from a rock from Mount Everest. The other is toy-sized cars from Mexico that they will catapult to the lunar surface and they're going to cruise around. And the other is ashes and DNA from people like Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, who was always a space enthusiast. So basically what we've done is we have a brand new, let's call it a planet, even though it's a moon. It's still like a planet. We have a brand new thing. And all we want to do is junk it up. Like, that's our first thought is, hey, let's go put stuff on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Prove?
I don't know. And so that's what this company did. But they said the cargo fares for this ranged from a few hundred dollars, I'm assuming, for the rock chip, to $1.2 million for 2 pounds.
For 2 pounds?
Yeah. 2.2 pounds.
You know, I think that this just goes to prove that men are in charge of this whole situation, because women were, we'd be like, we're going to declutter it. We're going to clean it up.
Yeah.
Whereas the guys are like, let's just bring all kinds of junk up
there. Let's put more. You don't know what kind of space junk we're going to need up there.
Right.
And one day if someone gets stranded there, they're going to have these lunar cars, a rock to throw at something. You know,
just never know. Yeah. Got to be prepared.
Yeah, it's kind of lunacy. But I like advancements like this, and I would love to see us go back, because I've always felt it was really weird. And this is part of what feeds into the conspiracy theory is we went to the lunar surface in the 70s, early 70s, and the technology was so weak to get there, which is a miracle we got there and got back.
People peed in their pants.
Oh, yeah. They wear diapers. They still wear diapers. The flimsy material that the lunar rover is made out of, or not rover, but lander, is another thing that people are like, that really couldn't even have made it. The microwaves that they would have, the radiation that they would have encountered was insurmountable, like all these things. So I'm glad that we're going back to go, okay, look, we can do it. We can beat these things. But I like this because you see advancements. Anytime you're trying to innovate for a purpose, a lot of advancements come from that, and ones that eventually trickle down into modern day life and help make our lives better. Ziploc bags, you know, Velcro, diapers, all that stuff. So anyway, Lady Rock, what do you got?
I don't know if anything can top last year's Golden Globe Awards when comedian Chris Rock made a joke. It was in 2022.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
But I think It was so the one that we had, the Golden Globes just happened last night, and those were, I think, 2023, even though they happened in 2024.
Right.
But anyways, comedian Chris Rock made a joke at Jada Pinkett Smith's expense, and her husband, Will Smith, walked right up on stage and slapped him.
Oh, wow. Wow. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
He was so rocked and had no idea how to respond. And I don't blame him. I would not have known what to do if Will Smith, who's like the nicest guy in Hollywood up till this point, walked up and slapped me. I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah, you would just think, did this really happen?
I like his comeback, greatest night in television. Yeah. And he's right. We're still talking about it.
Right. Well, so you're thinking, well, who was tasked with trying to redeem the star-studded event? It was stand-up comedian and actor, I've never heard of him before, Joe Coy.
Okay. Mm. I know the name, but I'm not familiar with him very much.
Well, he opened up the event like any other host would by making jokes at the stars who were in attendance. And one of those who became a target was Taylor Swift. And when Joe made his joke at her expense, the camera panned to her, and she just sat there staring daggers into him.
As you know, we came on after a football doubleheader. The big difference between the Golden Globes and the NFL, on the Golden Globes, we have fewer camera shots of Taylor Swift. I swear, there's just more to go to here. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
He did not do very well. The little bits I heard, it was a tough room, and he was struggling.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So things didn't get any better for Joe.
Oh, man.
He tried his best at lightening the tension in the room, but when the crowd wasn't giving him anything, Wally understands this, he unleashed on the crowd.
Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up.
I definitely have turned on crowds before. Like when they're like when you have them in your hand and then all of a sudden you lose them, it's like you have no option.
Well,
you
got to
turn on them.
It's very cringy.
Yeah, but it just doesn't, it's not a good look for him.
No.
This host guy. Like, I get it. Maybe you were given the job 10 days ago, but you can't unleash on
and
the
you're a
crowd.
Professional.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, if you spent like 10 days, like, hard, like working really hard every day to get there, I'm sure you could do something.
Yeah, it's not like you had another job to go to.
Jimmy Fallon does it every night. I mean, like they.
Yeah. I think it's a tough job too because nobody wants it.
You know, secondhand embarrassment. I watched just a few minutes of it when he was doing something and I'm watching things not land and I turned it. I'm like,
I get
no.
that.
I went to something less dramatic, a 90 Day Fiancé.
Hey.
Where people are literally train wrecks and Wally's like, choo choo.
Yeah, that was way better. This is so much kinder and gentler than what's happening.
I have seen footage of Harrison Ford reacting to a joke, and you just see Harrison like roll his eyes.
Yeah.
Like, just, who is this guy?
Yeah.
They really need to get to a point where there is no host. Like, really, there isn't
Give
a need
the awards.
For one.
They did it that one time during COVID. They went hostless for one of the award shows because the writing is always so bad anyway.
Yeah, no, but and ever since Chris Rock situation, we're just kind of like, unless you are going to slap someone, we don't want to be there.
And the biggest irony of the Jada Pinkett Will Smith thing is him like, keep my wife's name out of your mouth, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then like a year later or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, she's still kind of cheating on him and they have this open relationship.
Honestly, nobody
and
cares about their relationship.
Nobody
does. They just need to keep it under wrap. We do not care.
Yeah, it was really strange that you did this big gesture for like nothing.
And you look like a hot mess.
Yeah, and you shot your own career in the foot for someone that doesn't respect you, doesn't care about you. Yeah, I thought that was ultimately kind of
I haven't
sad.
Seen a ton of great press for Will Smith in
and
the last 2 years
so
since
good.
This happened.
Yeah.
Like when I saw that one that he played the dad of the tennis.
King Richard.
Oh, he was great in that.
It made me cry.
It's
I was
a great
like,
movie.
So good. I really like him.
Yep.
And I didn't even watch, what is it, iRobot? Where he has like a dog and he has to.
The old one?
Anyways, I don't
know. It's an old one.
Oh, that's, yeah.
But
I
didn't watch it because I knew he would sell it, and I would cry with him. And so I didn't. But he's ruined his career since the slap. I don't think. It just makes him look like a hot mess.
It's funny that they do, like, a roast in a room full of people that are some of the A, most narcissistic, and B, most insecure. Like, and the whole idea, I don't know when this started, was like, oh, let's make jokes, and then they can laugh at themselves like everybody. No, none of them like this.
No.
That they didn't sign up for that.
Yeah.
And so why keep going down that road?
They need
the
to change
only it. Thing I would support is taking the two guys from Weekend Update and having them each write jokes for the other about the people in
Colin,
the room.
What's his face?
Yeah.
Colin
and Jost Michael.
And,
yeah. That bit would
be great.
Kill.
Yes.
Because then they're each getting to go, I didn't want to say this. I don't want to say this, Taylor. I love you. But, you know, and then doing it. That would be hysterical.
Yes. And then when that one person is saying the joke that the other one wrote, and then they'd be like,
wow,
man, Colin.
Man,
I wouldn't have said that.
Come on.
I think Taylor's great. I love her. You know, that
Michael,
to me, you could do it 1 year because it wouldn't play after that.
And then
but 1 year
would be
great. Next
year, they should have Chris Rock and Will Smith get back together.
Yes.
We would be in it to win
Just the two of us.
We can make it.
That was one of my favorite Will Smith songs. Remember when he was a rapper? Remember that?
Yes, but that wasn't his. It was his song, but it was a remake.
Oh,
no,
I know. He used the hook for it.
I like Miami. Welcome
to
Miami.
And Benito's Ami. Yeah, I like that one. That whole album.
Or Into the Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think
good.
It was Big Willie Style or something was the whole. I did like that whole album, actually.
Oh, yeah, Big Willie Style.
Yeah.
Getting jiggy with it. Nah.
Getting jiggy with it. Yeah. What do you got? What do you got for birthdays?
Jennifer, she wants to wish her son, Evan, a happy birthday.
Evan Almighty!
Evan is turning 18 years old
an adult.
Today. He loves playing the piano and guitar.
Off the payroll!
He is really good at chess and will be going to Clemson in the fall.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Loves the Wally Show.
My sister, her family, a bunch of their kids, because their dad went to Clemson, huge Clemson fans. Went there and school. Yeah, they all
They're
went
not currently going.
No, they went there. They already graduated.
But now Evan is.
Evan, that's great. I'm really good at shouting, get him off the payroll for everybody else.
except
your me. Daughter. I know, except me.
You're like eight more years of insurance.
Daddy!
Yeah. Daddy! No, she has her own insurance now, her own health insurance.
Oh, good. Yeah. How old is she again?
24, 25.
No, that's great. Yeah. She's probably had that for what, like a couple years now?
Or? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So she's doing that.
I can't make the payment because I needed to buy new acting classes.
Oh, jeez. Nope. Sorry.
Oh, sure. You are all talk.
It's a good thing you only had the one kid.
Yes. Oh,
honestly,
my goodness.
One daughter.
Or if I had to pick between kids of which one I liked better, that's a nightmare.
Honestly, there are a lot of weddings that I dread at my age, but hers I'm looking forward to only because you are all talk. You're like, I'm not going to do it. But I know. All she's got to do is be but Daddy.
We talked about this last night with my wife and I were talking about this because we were talking with Greg and Molly about their daughter's wedding. And I was like, I really, like, if she were to end up marrying Spencer, her current boyfriend, his mom is a travel agent and specializes in like destination weddings. And like, oh, okay. Like, I would absolutely love that. Because you could keep it to just a real small amount of people that know you, that love you, and that's it. And so you can keep the cost down. You get to go and have a great trip and, like, experience some really great stuff.
This is you trying to justify it to your daughter. Okay, so we're the guinea pigs.
Yes,
okay.
I could spend money and get behind spending money on that because it's great versus spending $16,000 on some venue down the road from my house. No, but if I'm spending money on a place.
Because there's nothing in it for you. So if it's a destination wedding.
I get something out of it.
Yeah. So you're willing to spend
I get
more.
To go and enjoy. And the few people that you invite, it's something good for them to enjoy. And then people can come or not go. Like, they don't have to go. And that's okay. You know? And I think you could actually keep your costs down from all the lunacy of things. Because it's just, it's criminal. What women are tricked into or pushed into paying for bridal stuff, it's crazy.
Oh, it's astronomical, and I think social media has made it even worse.
Well,
because
like,
you feel like you have to keep up with.
Well, you also have
Joneses.
So much time to develop the idea of that wedding day.
Yeah. And it's
not
like
you have to make a quick decision. They've had like 20 years to say the dream has been created.
Right, and it's kind of like Christmas. Like, you have this expectation for the day, and everything has to live up to that expectation. So that means more money.
And people know that, and they take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that, 27 swans should cost you $14,000.
But Daddy, you don't understand.
Honey, we're going to get them. Don't worry.
It's
my
spirit animal.
Look, I can't do 14.
I'm being triggered.
I'm going to do 13, okay? And you're going to be happy with it.
But 13 is an unlucky lucky number, Daddy. What are you hoping for my marriage?
16 swans it is. Fine. You know, yeah. I mean, like, it's just
lunacy.
It has to
be an odd number, though, Daddy.
17 swans it is, and that's my final offer.
You're such a
push-up. Oh, I know. I have a feeling I'm going to get worked on this. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Are you hoping that the day comes when she gets married sooner than later, though, so you can get it out of the, not get it out of the way in the, you know, but get it out of the way in a financial sense?
Yeah, yes and no. The later it gets, it's more on them. Like my cousin my nephew, when he got married a little bit later.
What is considered a little bit later?
Like in your 30s, like a little bit later. Yeah. Like if you were to get married,
it's all on me.
Yeah, I have a feeling your parents would be like,
"That's why I would elope."
Yeah, like your parents, like when you're 20, you feel like you got to pay for it. When you're 38, your parents are like, "Hey, can we come?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are we getting an invite?"
He's asking for my permission. Wow.
Yeah, like my nephew, he's 33, I think, and just got married, and he. 90-day fiancé'd.
Nice.
She was already living here and working here, but he met her, and then they had to go through the K-1 visa process and everything.
Like the show coming to real life.
Exactly. And she's really, really sweet. Like, I really like her a lot.
Do they speak the same language, though?
They speak English, yes. Okay. She speaks English.
Do you remember that one couple that couldn't?
Yes, and they Paul and Carini.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember
okay,
that.
Okay, let me say this, too. Wally cannot tell you the name of the person he just shook hands with.
No.
But he can tell you the name of the first season couples on 90 Day Fiancé.
It's sad. It's really sad.
And this couple, they could not speak the same language, so they would use an app on his phone to talk through it. So he would say whatever he wanted to say in English, and then he'd play it back for her in her language, and then she'd have to talk
she'd
to
type.
The phone, and then it was so bad.
And he was so funny, because anytime things got too, like, messy for him, he just ran. He would run away. Literally run.
He would. And then when he was leaving, his mom gave him a lock of her hair. A lock of her hair.
Oh, so weird. So weird.
Where are we going with this?
We were talking about their language. But she worked as an au pair here, and so she spoke English really relatively well, like very well, actually. But he doesn't speak her Portuguese. Mm-hmm. He's learning her language.
So he
too.
Paid for his wedding.
Yeah, that was the point.
Did she pay for anything?
Well, she didn't come from a bunch of money, and he was doing well. And so they got married like super on the cheap courthouse wedding type thing, and they pushed off a wedding until it's coming up this year. And so we have to go, or we get to go.
There's the spirit.
Weddings that drive me nuts. And I've got four nieces and nephews that I'm going to have to go to their weddings. But he's paying for it. And this time they're doing a wedding so that her family could actually come in and see her get married, because their family wasn't able to come over. So yeah, like so he's spending money.
Let me give you just
sure.
I love hypotheticals.
Scenario? I know you do.
Yeah,
hypothetical situations.
I know you do.
Okay, here's the scenario. You had a son.
Yeah.
Not Haley.
Yeah.
What was his son's name? Do you remember, Gavin?
Hayden.
Who?
You had a hypothetical son.
We did.
Remember,
name a
we named him.
Son.
Oh.
But I don't remember what his name was.
Oh, I don't know. Let's go with Rick.
No,
Rick!
It's easier for you to say no to Rick.
I don't like Rick.
So his name is Hayden. We'll go with Hayden.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hayden is 24, 25, however old Haley is, and he's found his fiance, the woman that he is going to marry. And they need to get married, but he has a theater degree, okay?
You have a son who went to theater, too?
And he's working at Disney.
I'm just happy he's getting married at this point.
He's working.
So he's working at Disney. We're all downhill from here.
Okay. But the girl wants certain tuxedos, okay? For him.
Yes.
But he's not making much at Disney, okay?
No, he's not.
So him and his groomsmen need to get these suits. And he's like, Dad, listen.
Yeah.
But he doesn't go, Daddy.
Daddy. No, he goes, Dad, listen, I have saved $300, but I need $3,000 to get these suits that my fiance wants.
Like, son, you didn't save enough.
So what do you tell him?
What do I tell him? I say, son, you don't need those suits. I know you want to make your wife happy, but this is where you have to set some boundaries and compromise. This is where, yes, you have to tell her, I don't have the money for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come up with an alternative. And I will help you because I want you to have something that you want as well. And I will help you with this. So I would help them with that. But yeah, I wouldn't spend a ton of money on that. I'd look, I've got my other.
What's considered a ton for a son?
For a son?
If you have a son.
$850.
$8.50. Oh, gosh. Okay. So if you, let's say you have a son and he wants to get married, what's hypothetically the most you would pay for your son for his marriage?
Well, it's weird because the groom is really the only thing that the groom is responsible is for the rehearsal dinner for everybody.
Yes, but we're talking about showers, like getting them something for their home, all those things.
Like I would do that stuff. Like I would have no problem buying money for a home.
But a wedding
to
you is not that important.
No.
You're going to give the money towards something that you feel is important.
Correct.
Like a car or a home.
Like I would give them a chunk of money for a down payment on a home. Absolutely.
What would happen if you gave them a chunk of money, but it was before the wedding, and then you find out they actually spent it on their wedding, and now they're living in a camper in your backyard?
That's the last money they'd ever get. Like, no. Like, absolutely.
Dad, can you throw, like, an extension cord out here so we can have some electricity?
Who's this? Who's that? Who's talking to me right now?
New phone. Who dis?
Yeah.
Whereas with Haley, she's like, the daddy, know it's a $6,000 dress, but it's my dream dress, and it fits me perfectly.
Would it make you happy, sweetheart? would it make your day? It's so funny because I have these conversations with Mitch, who is my daughter's boyfriend's father, Spencer, his father, and his father is tough on his kids, and he has all boys, and he raised his kids like I would have raised sons, tough luck, sorry, too bad, so sad, quit whining, you know, and that's how he raised his kids. And so for me, it's funny because I definitely have pampered Haley way more so. And I always, if I had a kid, it'd be a whole different, a son, it'd be a different story. But then Hayden. I know he doesn't believe me. Like, I know he doesn't believe me.
Yeah. 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 I love that there's Vacation Dad, and he sounds like a lot of fun.
Vacation Dad is fun. Yeah.
He sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I definitely exaggerate the whole situation, but there are times where I'm like, whoa, you did what?
Oh, yeah, and it is a weird thing, man. Like, when you're older and you always thought, oh, I'm going to raise my kids the way I was raised, and I didn't have a lot of help, you know? And then I find, like, I want to help, you know? And that can be problematic if you help too much, you know? And so you have to figure out. We actually sat down with her and came up with our plan for this year of, okay, this is when this happens. This is when this happens. We understand, you know, you have to take responsibility in this.
You have to be on your own cell phone, Bill.
Yeah. Like, you have, well, I kept that one.
Why? Did you choose one that you know?
Yeah, I kept that one.
It was just easier. It was just easier.
But she's Venmoing me for anything else that I have.
Yeah.
Like, no more tolls, no more gas. Mm-hmm. No, like, she has a car payment now. Mm-hmm. So, like, she's basically living on her own with the exception of the car insurance, which I still pay. I pay for all of our cell phones. So that basically is all she has now. So.
But if you had Hayden and he was still on your cell phone bill, needed to be on your cell phone bill, he's homeless living in his car.
Yeah.
Could he still be on your phone bill?
Tough call.
He's homeless.
Tough call. I don't know.
Got to live and learn. Am I right?
It is so. Ray, I want you to experience this sometime because it's so hard raising kids because all the things you think you're going to do, you get in the situation and you find you do different things, you know?
Oh, for sure. My dad doesn't treat me at all like he was treated when he was a kid. But I think if he had a son, it would have been drastically different.
Oh, for sure.
I think there's something about, like, dads with daughters, they just feel like they need to protect them.
Absolutely.
But it can backfire because you can set a 100%. Standard so high that no guy's ever gonna.
If she had picked a degree, say she had a degree, came out as a marine biologist, you know, and was working
to swim with dolphins.
And I would love that. and is working at SeaWorld and is making $40,000 a year.
It's good.
Yeah, she's on her own. 100% she's on her own. But she's working at Disney, making nothing, you know, trying to eke out a living while she tries to audition and make what she wants to do happen.
So she's still trying.
Oh, yeah, she's still trying. It's just, it's a hard, she picked one of the worst businesses.
Yeah.
And there is going to be that point where she's going to have to make a tough decision.
Yeah.
And that decision is, do I give up on this dream or do I find a new path inside of this dream or do I find a new path? Mm-hmm. And that is really, I'm trying to give her every opportunity to not have to give up on her dream, because I know what it's like to love what you do and go to work with what you love doing. And it's a gift every day. And I don't want her to have to do a job she doesn't love, you know?
But what if Hayden's dream is to paint hermit crab shells?
Great example.
Your examples are so great.
It's 20. He's 25.
Yeah.
And yeah, the hermit crab business just isn't picking up.
It's not what it used to be, is it? No, I understand that.
But it's his dream.
I know.
It's like, Daddy, it's my dream. Yeah.
Can I pay for my house truck that I want to live on the beach?
Yeah. If I ever got to a point where I was like, oh, Hayden, this is a real job. You have a real possibility at this. That would be my fault.
Like, Hayden, your hermit crab shells are the best.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know what, Hayden? Hermit crabs, they leave their shells like you're leaving this house. Think of this house as your shell. You are getting out of it, and I'm repainting it. And no, you can't paint it because you're not really good at this. You kind of stink at painting. No one's ever told you this before, but I need to tell you.
Poor Hayden.
What if he's pursuing it? Just it's all going completely wrong. Do you go... Son, come back home. Like, son, get back in here. Like, I want you to be safe and I want you to be under a roof and not out living on the streets.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah. I mean, in all seriousness,
you're not
going to
leave this kid.
Never
going
to leave
the
kid to hang out.
He would be bringing his aquatic hermit crab sanctuary. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We're running long here. It is funny you talk about this because I literally had this thought on the way in. I think about a lot of stuff, and I was thinking about some church stuff and thinking about God stuff, and I was thinking about our kids and how...
You only have one.
Yeah, your kid.
Well, no, just in general,
Hayden
people.
Hayden doesn't exist.
Oh, he's not a real kid.
Though
thank
I wish
the Lord.
He did. I wish he did.
That kid is the worst.
You're like, who have I been sending a thousand a month to?
Yeah, but like I struggled through some of our faith issues in all seriousness where it's like, I'm a dad, and so what do I want to do? I want to protect my daughter. I want to give her what she needs. And sometimes I want to give her what she wants, you know? And I want her to be okay, and I want her to be happy, and I want her to have this life. And then you look at it, real God, real Father, and you're like, you actually have the power to change everything for a person. You could literally snap your fingers. You could remove a person out of a home. They could be in another family. They would instantly have all their pictures on the family wall, and like no one would know because you just miraculously made it happen. It was like it always was. Like you could change, if you could make this entire world, you could change anybody's situation at any second, but you don't. And that's a really hard thing for me when we talk about viewing God as a father figure. I know the lengths I would go to for my kid. And so then the other part of that is you go, well, I let my son die for you. Isn't that enough? Or that should be the biggest thing.
Sure.
And I get like, that's the big overarching thing. But then at the same time, you go, well, you're the one that said, I can't be around sin, and sin happened. So it's kind of like you're pushing me in front of a bus, and then you save me and you go, look how great I am. Yeah. You know,
it's an orchestrated saving,
yeah,
per se.
By one that you set up the parameters, yeah. Unless the parameters were set for you, in that case, you're not God and you're not bigger than the parameters, you know? And so, like, this is all at the red light at McEwen.
Dude, it's like 4:50 in the morning.
I know, right? That's where I have these thoughts, and I'm praying and I'm kind of wrestling through this.
But the alternative is having a life where you are told what to do and that you don't make any decisions.
Yeah.
You were told to love God no matter what.
Right.
Free will is like the ticket that's always punched when it comes to the idea.
Or you just don't have life at all.
Yeah.
So then that means not experiencing Haley, not experiencing Marty.
Robots.
Not even knowing what joy or happiness is.
Yeah.
I mean, is that...
But see, I don't think it had to be that. Like, I mean, I know we got free will, and that's where people's messed up lives affect us. But to me, it's a really hard thing to wrestle through where a God could snap his fingers and not have a child abused. But it happens. It happens every day.
Oh, sure.
And it's horrible. Now, can you make the most of it? And can you turn around your life? And can you be good for other people? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and people always default to the, well, God was there. Where was God? Well, he was there holding you. And now you're, you know, a champion for children. So... But basically, you redeemed, or you allowed him to redeem something that was bad that didn't technically have to happen in the first place. I get why people wrestle with faith, because I have problems with it sometimes too.
Maybe it's because all of us are to God, we're all Haydens and not Haleys.
Maybe.
you know?
Yeah, we got to learn.
We got to learn. Our hermit crab shell business
Jesus
is
was his only
on.
But see, that's the thing, though. And I'm far better where if somebody told me, okay, God set this into motion, sin entered the world, and now all of a sudden we just have to live with the consequences, and he's not pulling strings. Like, he's hands off. This is just going to happen, and then at the end we'll reconcile and be like, okay, yeah, that kind of stunk, didn't it? Like, I'm far better with that than picking and choosing who gets blessed, who doesn't get blessed, who gets pulled from a situation and survives, who doesn't, and God working on that micro level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I tend to believe there's somewhere in between those two extremes.
Maybe.
You know, the way God works. But I will never understand how he works. And the problem is I have to be okay with that. And sometimes I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, but I think we all find ourselves there at certain times. Yeah. And then sometimes we find our ways through it.
Sure.
But it's something that you have to work out, you know.
Absolutely.
With people that know more than we do.
And so those are the if you struggle with your faith or you have questions or you wonder why, like, you're not alone. Like, I do this too. And there are moments and times I'm really good. I'm like, you know what, God, you got this, and I can't control any. And I think what happens is when somebody asks me a tough question and I don't have an answer for it, mm-hmm. that drives me crazy because I want to help them. Yeah. And I want to give them some wisdom that matters to them and makes a difference and makes sense. And just saying, well, you know what? We can't understand everything God does, and he says he'll give us peace when we don't understand it. And for me, fine, I can understand that, and I can accept that, but not everybody can. And that is what sends me down these rabbit holes mm-hmm. of frustration, because it's somebody else struggling to get to God, and they can't because of this one question, and I can't answer it, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that frustrates me. Wow, we ended up really super deep here at the end of this thing.
Thank you, Hayden.
Yeah.
That was just one birthday, though, right?
Yes.
The only one. We didn't even get to the question, but we
can't do a question today. All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast.
Wait, say it like Hayden and his hermit crab business.
Hey, Dad.
yes.
I'm just over here painting some hermit crab. Can you ask mom to bring some more Mountain Dew?
Has he got a list?
Yes. Hayden, you are such a disappointment to me. Oh, that's going to do it. Thanks for being a potty. Thanks.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.